I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Starts as a whisper. At first, you can't see. The feeling sweeps you away in the breeze. And before you know you're gone, you're drunk on the wine.
Kamala Wadad Kramer spent the early years of her creative career traveling the country as an actor. In 1999, her focus changed to singing and writing songs, where she has comfortably spent the last decade. She released several independent albums while living in notable music towns like Austin and Los Angeles. Most recently, she has called Central Pennsylvania home and stays active performing throughout the Mid-Atlantic region. In December 2010, Kamala stopped by the Wood Stove House to chat about her creative journey and the inspiration behind her latest album, Before You're Gone. Well, joining me in the Wood Stove House is Kamala Wadad Kramer, and I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, too.
So we met about, well, not quite a year ago at a Susquehanna Folk Music Society show up in the Harrisburg area.
Yeah.
And Kamala, you come from Carlisle, is that right?
I'm in Carlisle now, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't grow up there, but I've been there for almost 2 years.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Wisconsin.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I'm a Midwestern girl.
Well, I want to start by getting an idea of your story of the journey, because you've got some interesting, you have had an interesting track.
Yeah.
Let's start with theater.
Mm.
And how theater creatively got you to where you are now as a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I after I got my degree, I didn't have a theater job, so I sort of said, well, let's look at the map and see where we want to go. So I went to San Francisco. I had some family there and toured the country with some theater companies. And after about a year, I ended up at a theater that was doing sketch comedy. They wrote their own sketch comedy, Second City, Saturday Night Live, stuff like that. And then they had a cover band, and they did this whole night of like sketch comedy, a song, some theater, sketch comedy, a song, and theater. And we all had to audition, and we were singing these songs, and people just started coming up to me. Like, wow, your voice, your voice, your voice. And for probably 5 years, I'd been an actor. And I thought, wow, you know.
Were you a singing actor? Or were you?
No, I was an actor. I was just, you know, I did musical theater. But if you hear on the CD, I don't have a typical musical theater voice. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a low alto. I can sing tenor. Like, you know, there's no tomorrow. And so, you know, you get out the Oklahoma songs. I feel pretty. It's not my range. And so I wasn't getting any, like, musical theater stuff. And I actually had a professor in college. We had to do a musical theater class, and he said, if you cannot act, because we had music majors and we had actors, and that's what I got my degree in, was theater. And so he said, if you can't act, you better sing like there's no tomorrow, and you better nail it. And he said, and if you can't sing, you better act and just nail it.
Right.
And I knew this guy felt, he was like a purist in musical theater, so I decided, you know what? I'm going to work up this show. And I picked up a Cheetah Rivera song, Kiss of the Spider Woman. Cheetah Rivera has a very low voice. So I thought, you know, I'm going to nail what I can do really well. And I got done, and he critiqued everybody after each number in front of the whole class. And so in front of like 50 people, he said to everybody, here's an example. Kamala is an example of somebody who's a phenomenal actress, but she cannot sing.
Wow.
I know.
Boom.
It was seriously boom, because one of my colleagues was sitting in front of me and turned around like, oh man, is the storm coming now? But it lit this fire in me that was like, you know what? You are wrong. You are wrong. I can sing. And so I sought out some voice pathology within the college where you can actually work with students who are trying to learn how to do voice pathology, you know, training people how to speak. And so they said to me, well, your speaking voice is actually creating some problems. And so I started doing that, and I got into lessons, and I started saying, you know what? If this guy thinks I can't sing, why? I can either believe him, or I can say, you know, whatever, dude, and ignore it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to know, like, why does he think that? And so that was
probably...
Did
you ask him then? Or?
No.
You just
I just was like, you know, whatever, I'm just going to let him be. And then I think it was like a year later, I ended up getting into this this show that was doing like a Prairie Home Companion kind of thing, where we had the show normal, but instead of sound effects through a microphone, they had a table of actors doing the sound effects. And it was like a black box show. And I played the blind girl. And after I was done, he's like, I missed out on your whole career here in college. I was leaving. Like, it was my senior year. Yeah. And I was leaving to go do my next theater gig. And he said, I really want to work with you. And I'd won some awards as an actor. And so ironically, I ended up singing on this stage like 5 years later. And people were just going off about my voice.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I thought, you know what? Maybe I should listen to this. I mean, after all the awards as an actor, I thought, let me see what's there. Got out, dusted off this old guitar. And I wasn't really a good guitar player. And I sat down, that was January. I sat down and wrote like 10 songs.
Wow.
By February, I had 10 songs. And when I would go to the open mics, which I always highly
this
recommend.
This is still San Francisco?
No, by this time, this was Ohio. So there was San Francisco, North Carolina, Ohio, then Austin, then Los Angeles. So I was in Ohio and I started saying, well, you know, maybe it's just in my mind that this is really good. So let me see what people think
yeah,
of it.
Sure.
And so I started playing and people were responding again. And so I called up my best friend and I was like, you know, I think I'm kind of onto something. And a friend of mine teaches, a friend of his teaches at a recording school. So I could record an album for free if I work with students. It's the recording workshop in Southern Ohio. And she said, well, you know what? I need a job. So maybe I'll be your manager. And I was like, wow, okay. And it was just like open door after open door after open door. And so we had this album recorded by the end of July. So January, I said, maybe I should do this.
Maybe I should try to be a songwriter, a singer.
Absolutely. And by the end, Eve was recorded, my first album, Eve. And it's a very gritty, earthy, folky rock album. And I brought it together, this phenomenal musicians. And it just came together like that. And so my friend Madeline and I said, well, you know, Austin's supposed to be the capital of live music. Why don't we try Austin? So we just like packed our car. And by the end of beginning of September, we were in Austin, Texas. And
wow.
It was crazy. So I never really gave up acting. I just followed this open door, and that was in 1999.
How did you end up in Carlisle? How did you end up in our neck of the woods?
Yeah, you know, I was after the journey from Austin to LA to California, back to California again, I moved to Maryland and had my daughter, and my ex and I were there for about 5 years, and he decided to go to law school, and he got accepted to Dickinson. So ended up there. It wasn't necessarily my choice. At first, I was like, I don't know about this area. I don't really know if there's a music scene, but since I've been here, I've really kind of fallen in love with it.
How long ago was that?
2.5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, so pretty recently.
Yeah, yeah. I still consider myself pretty new to the region. I still ask people about venues and places to go. And when I play a lot of places, people are like, whoa, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
Are you from here? Like, you seem new. I'm like, I kind of am. I still don't quite know my way.
You seem
around
new.
83, 81, 283. I get a little lost once in a while around Harrisburg.
Well, there's a 283s, which of
That's
course.
That's right.
Which messes everybody up. Which 283 are you talking about? And then
exactly.
The Connect, of course.
Right, because I have to get here to Lancaster from Carlisle, you have to take 83, get on the 283 South, and then the
283
East. Right. Yeah. So yeah, I got here about 2 years ago, and I'm actually quite impressed by the music scene here.
Was the muse of Shakespeare the dancing maiden free, the longing for completion, the yearning to be taken by the song before you know you're gone. Your secrets we want to be. love with passion instead of with your fears. And before you know you're gone, may the music sing your
So I've been listening to this record, Before You're Gone.
Yeah.
I pulled it out one day and started listening to it, and man, just fell in love with this record.
Aww.
It's from 2009. So I want to talk about the way you wrote these songs, because what came out for me and has been sort of emerging over the last months that I've listened to this album, there's some themes there. One that just dawned on me even today. But themes like love and addiction and the ocean makes an appearance on several songs.
Yeah.
Are these interrelated themes, or are they just different themes that are part of where you are right now in life?
I would say yes to both of them. You know, I've studied a mystical path for about 10 years, Sufism. And, you know, when you start to study sort of the inner teachings of any path, whether it's Buddhism or Taoism, you know, Kabbalah, you realize that the esoteric teachings that are in these books, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, they're written in metaphors. And the ocean is often referred to as like the oneness or the ocean of existence. And so I think because I've studied that for 10 years, it's just always going to show up in my music.
Sure.
That sort of, you know, if you go on my website, it says folk rock rhythm mystic. I put the mystic in there because it's just, it always shows up. And so when I was writing these songs, you know, there was some contemplations of life and death and contemplations of addiction, you know, how I teach some spirituality classes, and the concept of codependency is the idea that people are looking for a substance, a person, food, it can be anything, to fulfill what they really want from the ocean. Like if we really go deep within, because it's inside of us, instead of looking outside of us, we'll find that fulfillment of that love. But in my sort of exploration of addiction and codependency, I started to realize there was a theme between a lot of these people. And the theme to me was that they were lovers. They were lovers of life. They were lovers of people. They were lovers of wisdom. They were lovers of God, almost ecstatic. In Middle East, they call them majoubs, like people that go crazy for the love. And so I had watched a PBS article on crystal meth, and I was looking at all these people, and I was thinking, wow, they're just trying to get to the love. And this substance is opening up that love for them. But that's the nature of addiction, is that you keep going back trying to get the love that you need to get from somewhere else through a substance, through a person, through food. And so the song Oh This Love came about from that idea of like this, the story of an addict saying, oh gosh, when you fill me up, all I feel is peace. All I feel is love, but you're such a mystery. You don't show up for me all the time. Like sometimes you're there and then sometimes you're gone, and I just want to get back to the perfect fix, you know? And so in the end, it's like, you know, because of this love, I've turned into this ultimate contradiction with so many addictions, you know, because I can never get back to the perfect high. I think there's that poem by Shel Silverstein, The Perfect High. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but there's a musician in the 60s that did it, and it's so true. It's like this guy goes searching these mountains and swims these oceans looking for the perfect high. And you know, in the end, the wise guru says, it's all inside you, man. And the guy's like, I've traveled here, and I've done this, and I've done that, and you're telling me it's been inside the whole time? Forget you.
Leaves turn red, orange, and gold. We're driving on a one-lane dirt road. Get kind of bumpy and the leaves are hanging low. But when I ask him where we're going, he says that he knows. 'Cause that's
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is singer-songwriter Kamala Wadad Kramer. Here's Kamala talking about the inspiration behind her latest album, Before You're Gone.
The recurring theme that just recently sort of struck me was this idea of going elsewhere. Back to Reality comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Take Me by the Hand. These songs are about traveling somewhere else, being somewhere else.
Right.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Was there an intention there?
Sure. Back to Reality, it was this idea that came about from living in Maryland. You know, Washington, D.C. is a huge city. Like, you've got Alexandria, you've got Tacoma Park, you've got Silver Spring. There's all these cities of their own culture, but it's so big.
Right.
And when you take the interstate up the 270, you hit 270 in Frederick, or 70, and you head west, you go to a place called Deep Creek. Forests, lakes, beautiful. People have like summer homes there. If you go east, you can go to the beach. And on a Friday, if you're trying to get out, you can't. The interstate is packed. And then I remembered my time living in San Francisco and how I thought, you know, you're in a city, you're so close to people all the time, but it's so lonely. Like, it's, you know, it's not an intimate small town where you're like, oh, hey, Bob, how's it going? You know, you're talking at the post office. And in the city, like, I would sit on this bus going to work in my cubicle job, which as an artist was really difficult for me.
Yeah.
And at 6 a.m, I'm like, hey, how's it going? And people are looking at me like, why are you talking to me? This is not cool. And so I started to think, gosh, you know, there must be a lot of people feeling this way because they're escaping the city on the weekends. These highways are jammed.
Yeah.
And when we went to the beach, same thing. The road to the beach was jammed. And so I started really digging in and came up with this character of this man who's just really trying to find his purpose.
There's not a person who's worked a 9-to-5 cubicle job that wouldn't totally be able to relate to that song.
Well, that's the thing that I just love about it, because people come up after the show and they're like, I feel like you're singing my story.
Yeah.
I love
especially
that.
If you're singing it on a Saturday night.
Exactly. Like, oh. Exactly.
He's driving through the city. The lights keep it pretty. A madhouse of rhythm and trance. Old and young trying to balance. Cigarettes and sewers. It's the music of the streets. Oh, Friday escape from the slave days. But on the weekend,
Take Me by the Hand, it kind of came about because I had a really dear friend who passed away in, gosh, 2002, I think. And I never really processed her death. It happened very quickly. And I used to help her out by cleaning and babysitting. I was pretty young still. And I came into the house unexpectedly. She had upstairs and a downstairs, and I came upstairs ready to clean the upstairs. And she was looking out the window. And there's a line in there. I saw you in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that moment with her where her sadness, I couldn't get away from the sadness that was in her eyes. And this was before any of us knew she had cancer. Like, we found out she had cancer in 2-3 weeks, she was gone.
Wow.
And And it was this idea of this in, this suffering because, you know, I had worked in the healing field for a long time. And, you know, you just, when I was in San Francisco, I worked with people with HIV. It's just around people who are facing that time of their life. Mm-hmm. And so that idea of take me by the hand was just like, you know what? Come out of that consciousness that you're in that makes you feel so unfulfilled, that makes you feel so unhappy.
In the body, things get foggy. We forgot something we used to be. We make this so important. What if I told you it wasn't? Would you take me by the hand? We'll journey to a loving land where compassion, love, and mercy. I saw you in a moment you didn't know I saw. Looking out through your window, your sadness was a wrecking ball. Would you take me by the hand? We'll journey to a loving land where compassion, love, and mercy.
Didn't really mean it as another song that struck me as a song about going somewhere else.
Yeah.
The ocean again.
Yep.
The shore, you know, going to the shore. Talk about
That's talk a good story.
That. Yeah.
That song came because when I was living in San Francisco, my godmother was a hospice volunteer, and she actually still does volunteer. And this is 1996, I think. And I looked at her, you know, I'm fresh-faced Midwestern girl. And I looked at her, I'm like, how can you do that? It would be so hard to be with people while they're dying. And she kind of looked at me almost with a confused face, like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, it's just a transition. The birth is the transition coming in, and the death is the transition going out. And she told me a story about this woman who had a large family. She had like 10 kids, and she was dying. And I think she was her client for 2 months, and I think she had cancer, so it was so painful. A lot of times when the time is done, hospitals and hospice will put people on morphine, really high pain meds, so that they can just sort of ride it out. And so she was really out of it. She couldn't really talk to her family. She couldn't connect with people at all. And then she kind of like went into like a coma type state. She would come in and out. So they stopped giving her so many meds. And the day that she passed, she came out of it and clicked awake and looked at the rest of her family like, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? Relating, connecting, like there was no cancer. Like she wasn't dying. Like she'd just all of a sudden been cured.
Wow.
And they were just blown away. And she said to me, you know, she's standing next to this woman, my aunt, who's the volunteer. She's standing next to the woman. And all of a sudden, the woman got this dreamy look on her face. She started looking into the corner of the room. And she said, do you see that? She had this smile on her face. Do you see that? And my aunt said, what do you see? And she got tears in her eyes. She said, it's so beautiful. And then she passed. And when I sat down to write this song, I was thinking, what did she see? What if we got to see what she saw? Would we do it different? And that's what I was thinking. I was like, gosh, whatever she saw, I kind of wish that we could get a little glimpse and then come back and then go, oh, you guys, this doesn't matter.
It's all good.
Yeah, totally. It's all fine. Just stop fighting. This is just ridiculous. You know, it's really beautiful and it's wonderful and love is everywhere. So just, yeah, it's good.
She's come to the shore of the ocean. She's got to make a choice. Stay where she is or sail on the ship out to the deep mystery. What a sweet life.
she can't take what she owns. She's got to go alone. All the memories of life, she's gotta leave them behind to see what she can see. Is this death?
So can you give me a couple of CDs that, or albums, if they're old?
I didn't think about this question. Let me think about it.
That you just absolutely couldn't live without, or just a couple of records that have really inspired you in life.
Mm. You know, it's funny. I'm a musician or a listener of music that rarely falls in love with a whole album. I don't know if most people are like this, but I will often like certain songs. I would say, as an artist, Joni Mitchell's Blue and Sarah McLachlan's Fumbling Towards Ecstasy were very influential in my shaping. Dilate, Ani DiFranco. Right now I'm really into Anais Mitchell as a poet songwriter. And then there's just certain songs. Songs that would just, I could not live without those songs. Somebody introduced me to Joni Mitchell years ago with the song Case of You. It was a vocal coach. She said, I want you to work on this song. And I was like, who is this singer? How is she doing this? This is like acrobatics. And it became this like goal for me. And I actually just put this, I blogged about this on my Facebook music page, that I got out that song again after 10 years. I'd worked with this vocal coach 10 years ago with this song. And I couldn't sing a lot of it. And I got it back out because I've been really hitting my vocal training for 10 years now, and I've hit this place where my vocal cords are like butter. I can throw anything at them and they'll usually respond. And I was like, oh, I can sing this song now. And so I was telling all my students, because I teach voice lessons, that, you know what, don't ever give up if you have a dream. You know, some people think things decline in life, that you age and you decline, but I don't believe it. I believe it will happen if you believe that to be true, but it just hasn't been my experience. I feel like I'm getting better. Well, I hope.
On that hopeful note, yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk
Absolutely.
To me today about this.
Thank you, Jason.
Really enjoyed it, and best of luck to you on everything you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Kamala Wadad Kramer is a singer and songwriter who now calls Central Pennsylvania home. Her latest album, Before You're Gone, was released in the summer of 2009 and is available at CD Baby, iTunes, or at any of Kamala's shows. Visit her online at KamalaK.com or link up from our website, WoodStoveHouse.com, where you can listen to past episodes, find show notes, leave comments, or send feedback. Around the Wood Stove is a production of The Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at WoodStoveHouse.com.
Tickets are flying everywhere and they're just blah, 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 blah.